Retired General Malcolm O'Neill says he saw evidence of strained, standoffish, non-communicative relationships between DOD and its vendors while he was chief technology officer at Lockheed Martin in the early 2000s.
We would take looks, winks, meetings that a person went to, and we would go back into our huddle of technical people at Lockheed and say, what do you think she meant when, because I saw her when I said direct and energy, I saw her eyebrow go up about a half an inch. I think we should spend $20 million this year on directed energy research.
He told a gathering of industry leaders at the Professional Services Council yesterday. He wants to be a lot more upfront with them than that. He says he's meeting with industry daily, and vendors shouldn't hesitate to try to get on the calendars of Army acquisition officials. He says he considers contractors to be among his office's primary customers, and he'll need their help if the Army's going to achieve its goals under Defense Secretary Robert Gates and DOD Acquisition Chief Ashton Carter's efficiency initiatives.
The efficiencies apply not just to within DOD, but if you can save us money, we would certainly like to know about it. And the promise we got from the SecDef and from Dr. Carter is that they would do everything they could. You know, they're not miracle workers. They're not the president. But they would do everything they could to give us back the money if we save the money by efficiencies so we could do more without more.
O'Neill says the efficiency goal for Army acquisition is to provide a 2 to 3% increase in warfighter capability without the budgetary increases to match that. When it comes to measuring those increases and whether or not the Army's achieving them, he says the service is trying to push the same message to its program managers that Secretary Gates gave them. Namely, they may very well get to hold on to the savings that they find. He says officials at his level can't know individual programs well enough to figure out exactly where to find the inefficiencies. He says officials at the program executive officer level on down do.
For example, if I'm PEO for ground combat systems and I can save money out of GCS and I decide I want to put it into the M1 tank, I should have that right. Now, the comptroller of the Army, the OSD comptroller, the OMB, they can always say, no, the president needs that money for something else, and we will salute and execute. But the SecDef is going to try to do as much as he can to allow that PEO to do more without more.
He says even if the Army can hold on to a portion of the savings its PEOs find, that's better than nothing.
Even 10% of it, or 15%, 20% back. That's a hell of a lot more than we have right now. And there's every reason in the world to do our job better, because it's a pride thing, too. If I can do the job of 10 people with 8 people, it makes me feel good. And I think it would make you feel good. If you can do the same job just because you're working better together as a team, and that's what we need to do with industry. If we could work together better as a team, industry and the government, we could save at least 2%, probably 10%. Of our budget.
To get to those efficiencies while still boosting capabilities, O'Neill says both industry and the Army will need to be less averse to risk. On the military side, he says program officers often don't buy the best capabilities they can for fear of taking risks.
I fight the, this is good enough. This is my grandfather's rifle. This is my grandfather's vehicle. It was good enough in 1942. It's good enough for today. And I say, how do you develop decisiveness? I see it. It's a trend, and it's the fear of getting the press that this system costs more than it was supposed to cost. It took longer to get to the field. The field is happy with an 80% solution. So what you do is you design for 80%, and you get 50%. That's the problem.
He says in his experience as a program manager, projects tend to get designed around cost estimates that are higher than what the manager thinks the actual cost should be. And as a result, those higher costs end up being what the government pays. He says the Army is trying to encourage its managers to design projects that end up costing less than the price tag assigned by Cost Assessment and Program Evaluation, or CAPE.
And one of the efficiencies is if the program manager feels that he can come in at a lower price than within the CAPE estimate, that becomes what we call should cost. And he actually manages to that. And if he can save that money, that becomes something that he can use as an efficiency to buy more of the systems. But if he exceeds that, it suggests that he didn't understand the risk to his program. So I think there is the PM's accepting risk in the should cost drill, and I think the contractor is accepting risk in the fixed price.
But O'Neill says although there is a sea change toward fixed price contracts and price ceilings, they're not always appropriate. He says in some cases, no matter how much the government wants contractors to take on additional risk, it doesn't happen.
And that's why in some instances I've counseled against a fixed price contract, because I think my people know what that system costs, and contractor A keeps bidding fixed price 20% above what we think it costs. We did a baseline cost estimate. He comes in at 120% of what we think it costs. So is he accepting risk? No. He's providing a cushion.
Meanwhile, the Army is right now mulling over the results of a new study on its acquisition processes and how to reform them, conducted by a former Army procurement chief and a former leader of the Army Materiel Command. O'Neill calls it excellent work. He says he plans to tell Army Secretary John McHugh his recommendations for action within about 6 weeks, and then release the study and his plans to the public. In Washington, Jared Serbu, Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.